Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the Epistle lesson. It's printed in the sermon outline, which is on page 3 of your service folder. I encourage you to maybe read along right now, but also to follow along with that during the message. Paul says, "We are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." But we are confident, I say. This is our text. Always confident, Paul says. Well, you know, always means 100% of the time. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But if St. Paul was always confident, where would you place your own confidence level? Is it maybe 50% or 25%, maybe even only 10%? I don't know. Mine's certainly far below 100. But that prompts the question, was it really 100% for Paul? Was he always confident? Or maybe he was just overconfident. That's the first blank in your sermon outline. Today's Father's Day, a day on which we, for those of us whose dads have gone ahead, we remember them with gratitude. For those of us whose dads are sitting right next to us, we give thanks to God. And by the way, girls and boys, you have special permission today to hug your dad anytime during the sermon, during the service, after the service, anytime today that you want to. And those of us who are dads, on this day reflect on the privilege and the responsibility that goes along with that title. Do you know who the most confident fathers are? Those who haven't had kids yet. That was certainly the case with me. My sisters had kids before I did, and I watched them, and I thought, oh, I'll never do that. Well, I'll do this with my kids. Pretty confident. You know when that confidence disappears? The moment we bring our first child home. And then panic replaces confidence. I'm responsible for this little life. Fast forward to the day they leave home. And when that happens, the confidence or the panic oftentimes are replaced with a certain amount of regret. Maybe even some guilt. I could have been a better dad in so many ways. See, it's easy to be overconfident when we place our trust in ourselves, in our own abilities, until experience teaches us otherwise. Overconfidence is not an attractive trait in anyone, but lots of times it's harmless. Other times it's potentially dangerous. A little over a year ago, our grandson, he was 10 years old at the time, had been studying geology in school, so he got very interested in rocks. He wanted his mom to buy him a pickaxe, and she said no. So he came to me and he said, "Poppy, teach me how to use your pickaxe so I can find rocks. I won't hurt myself." This is the pickaxe. It's not really a pickaxe, but close enough for him that he wanted me to teach him how to use. His mom thought that was a bad idea. And I agreed, even though Jacob was so confident that he'd be quite all right with that. He could have hurt himself. But nowhere is overconfidence more deadly than when it comes to spiritual matters. As we said, overconfidence is usually the result of placing our trust in the wrong things, and that's usually ourselves. So St. Paul was not overconfident. Instead, he was always confident. That's the second point in the outline, because his confidence was in God. And when we place our confidence in the Lord, we also can be always confident. Because we know that God is always able to do everything he has promised. Paul talks about that in the epistle lesson when he says, "It is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Just before then, St. Paul had referred to God, who is the master builder, as we said in the Apostles' Creed, the maker of heaven and earth. And St. Paul talks about the Lord and says, "We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." The creator of the universe is able to keep all of his promises to us. And he's also willing to do so. Of that, we can be always confident, as St. Paul was, especially because of what Paul says just after our epistle lesson today. When talking about Jesus, he said, "He died for all." Think of the confidence that can inspire in us. First, as we think of the fact that Jesus died, there's no greater proof of love for someone than to die for them. We can always be confident of our Lord's love for us. And we can be confident of his love for us because St. Paul says he died for all. He died for you and for me. There are no exceptions to that word all. Of that we can be always confident. Because he knows that this is true, St. Paul can say, "We walk by faith and not by sight." That's a great definition of the word confidence, by the way. If you notice in your sermon outline, we split that word in half into two components because it comes from two Latin words. The first Latin word means with, and the second one means faith. So to walk in confidence means to walk with faith. To trust what God says, not necessarily what we see, or maybe are unable to see. So we got a little demonstration cooked up for this, a little object lesson. Pastor Adams has volunteered to help us out with this. You notice in your sermon outline that we list three steps for gaining confidence, walking by faith, and they are instruction, practice, and then finally, courage. And so, Pastor Adams, I'm going to give you the instruction, then we'll let you practice. So the instruction is going to be, you're going to start with your heels up against that step there, and then you're going to walk forward with your eyes open. You're going to count the number of steps that it takes you to get to the very edge of the precipice. You have the instruction? All right, can you practice that once? 1, 2, 3, 4, and a tiny step. All right, good job practicing that. Now comes the real test. Let's see if he can walk by faith and not by sight. Would you close your eyes, please, and walk to the edge of the precipice with confidence. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, careful. All right, glad I could help there. All right, thank you for that. Thanks for your help, Pastor Adams. It seems to me as we walk through life and we see in front of us hardships and challenges and problems that can seem insurmountable, what we want to do is to be always confident is to walk by faith, not by sight. By faith in what God says, not necessarily what we see or are unable to see. So how does that work? Well, the Bible gives us some instruction on how to do that. There's plenty of them. Let's just use one from Proverbs chapter 3, where we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Other instruction comes in the form of an example, and we can see that in St. Paul's, what he said today. He tells us about his life. It was a hard life. It was filled with groaning and was burdened with all kinds of persecutions that he faced as an apostle for the Lord. And yet, what can he say? We are always confident. And he could say that and he could mean that because his confidence was in the Lord. It was in Jesus, who also confidently went to the cross because he could see beyond the cross with its pain and with its horror. And he trusted in the one who sent him to the cross, but who also promised to raise him from the dead and to seat him at his right hand, where forever Jesus lives and reigns in glory, and we will praise him there forever. Well, that's the instruction. What about the practice? How do we practice walking by faith and not by sight? I've got a suggestion. I'm sure there are other ways as well. But into each of our lives, probably on a daily basis, really come sometimes tiny disappointments, other times medium-sized frustrations. What if we looked at each one of those as an opportunity to practice? To practice walking by faith and not by sight. So that when the big challenges and the huge losses come into our lives, which we know they inevitably will, we already have an idea. We already know, at least to some extent, what it means and how we can walk by faith and not by sight. So we can have the courage to step into whatever it is has been set before us. And we can do that especially with the courage that comes from God, because he doesn't do what I did, which is to stand up here and just kind of give instructions and a tiny bit of a warning before he broke his leg. God doesn't just stay up there and say, good luck down there. Gives a few instructions. No, he came here in the person of Jesus Christ to be with us and to walk with us. Then he walks with us hand in hand. And when we stumble, he holds us up. And when we fall, he lifts us up and sets us back on the course. And because we know that, we can step out with confidence, with courage. Now, there's something else in our text that I want to address, because I'm afraid it's pretty easy for us to misunderstand that, and I don't want it to happen. But it's just very common in the Christian life for us to separate our spirituality, what happens on Sunday mornings, from the rest of the week and what goes on in this body. And in some ways, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 could give us, or 2 Corinthians 5, could kind of reinforce that. But that would be a misunderstanding of what Paul says. It's not the case that what we do in this life and with this body is not important, and all that really matters is that we get to heaven. And Paul isn't saying that. What he's saying is really the opposite. He's simply telling us that we can trust God for this life and for the life to come. This body will die, but a new body, our resurrected body, will take its place. And that body can never die. That body will dwell with all believers and with the Lord in that eternal house built not with human hands, but by God. Remember what Jesus says about the house, his Father's house that has many rooms? And he said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you, that where I go, I'll come back, and you may be with me always. Which means that we can be not only always confident, we know in Christ that we can be eternally confident, which is the next to last blank in your sermon outline. The last blank tries to help us understand what it means to be eternally confident. Maybe you've heard or even expressed the sentiment that says, life is hard and then we die. Not exactly a cheery thought. Not altogether untrue either. But also not the whole story. So if you wrote the word die in there, erase it or cross it out, because that's not the right answer to that fill in the blank, as Paul tells us so powerfully. Oh yeah, life is hard. And then we live blissfully, eternally, with the Lord. And of that we can be confident always. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.